And I need to make sure they have the endurance. So we got another lap to go. You can't drop out the race at this point. We got one more lap to go. But I want to let y'all know Olivia's back. Flesh and blood did not reveal that to me.
The Lord is good.
Worthy of all the praise. Join me in Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 20. Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 20. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter, who was, whether or not he was the official spokesperson for the group, Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Lord, we pray blessings upon your word and blessings upon our time as we fellowship in your word together, that your word will fall on good soil. Your word will not return void. That your word, O God, will do exactly what you sent it out to do. I pray, O God, that you help me get out of the way so you can have your way. We love you, we praise you, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Today we want to talk about who is he and what is he to you. I don't know where I got that title from. Somebody might be thinking about Billy Withers or something. Who is he and what is he to you? You might remember that title. Who is he and what is he to you? Y'all remember that song? Bill Withers, the man you passed just tried to stand me down. And when I looked at you, you looked at the ground. Y'all ain't never preach a song, did you? Yeah. I don't know who he is, but I think that you do. Who is he and what is he to you? That's a good song. Bill said, I'm about to out with my lady. This man looking at you. You look at the ground. But David's talking about Jesus. Forget Billy with us. Who is he and what is he to you? In this portion of scripture, you will find Jesus in Caesarea Philippi, located to the north of the Sea of Galilee. Jesus is in the north and preparing to make a turn to begin his movement toward Jerusalem and the cross. But before he begins this journey, there are two things that must be clear in the mind of his disciples. One is, who is he? The other is, what is he going to do? You understand, Jesus said, "I'm getting ready to go towards Jerusalem, to Calvary. But when I make that move, I want to make sure my disciples understand who I am and what I came to do
and what I'm going to do. Just considering the first question, who is he? I suggest to you today that many people who consider themselves to be Christians don't realize that their perception of Christ directly affects their faith and their authority of their lives in Christ. Your perspective of Christ, your perception of Christ directly affects your faith and your authority of your life in Christ. That's why some of us walk around as though we have no power, because we don't know who he is and what he is to you. Some of us don't have any faith because we don't know who he is and what he is to you. One that becomes a Christian, a follower of Christ, is supposed to grow in knowledge of him so the very life can be effective for God's glory. There should be a movement from the milk of the word to the meat of the word. Every Christian is to grow and mature in Christ. Hebrews 5:13-14 says, "For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." And you're going to have babes in the church, because everybody does not accept Christ at the same time. What the problem is when you have grown-ups in Christ acting like babes in Christ. What is a grown-up in Christ? Somebody that's been around Jesus long enough to understand who he is, but they're still dealing with the milk. So they said, after you deal with the milk, so you ought to taste that the Lord is good. You ought to desire some meat. My Lord, that's why they do you like that in a restaurant. They will appetize you. They make your mouth water. So you get ready for the entree. Jeremiah said, "Oh, taste and see." See, that word was sweet. The psalms say, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." And see what happens is, once you taste him, you want more of him. And I think that they shouldn't make the appetizers but so good. Because I never get to my entree if you make the some of us so stuck on the milk of the word that we have yet to say, "Bring me my meat. Bring me my entree." So Hebrews says, "For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat," listen to this, "belongs to them that are full of age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." That means everybody can't handle meat. Oh, my, my, my. Okay, I got some vegans here. Some vegans. Some vegetarians. I don't like no meat no way, Pastor. We're talking about the meat of the word, y'all. Come on. Come on with me now. Don't make me work so hard today. 1 Peter chapter 2:2-3 says, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." So Jesus is asking them questions because he want to know if they've grown. That's what they do. They give us tests, exams, to know if we are growing in what they taught us. They have in schools now some kind of test that's supposed to be a benchmark as to where you are supposed to be. If you're in a certain class and a certain grade and a certain age and you have a certain level of intelligence, then you're supposed to be at a certain point. But Jesus is saying to the disciples, "Let me find out before I go to the cross that I got somebody to leave my stuff with." Oh, my, my, my. Hey, let me find out. Let me find out that I got somebody. And not just somebody to leave my stuff with, but somebody going to take care of my stuff. Somebody going to do with my stuff what I would do with my stuff. So before I go to the cross, let me see if I got somebody in this disciple group that knows who I am. So if he prepares to head toward Jerusalem and to the cross at Calvary, he needs to know what his disciples think about him, because he needs to lead them with the ministry of salvation and all that it entails. You and I, we're the same way. The more important the precious something is to us, and we want to make sure when it's time for us to leave it with somebody that they're going to take care of it, that we want to leave it in the right hand. Amen. You don't have to go there and leave your kids with anybody. That's according. If you want to punish, no. But if you got something precious and you want it to be taken care of, you want it to be used properly, you want it to be able to be kept, and you want to make sure you're giving it to the right person, that they have some knowledge of what you're giving them and some respect for what you're giving them and some appreciation for what you're giving them, you know, and they have, you know, some kind of integrity that they might be able to maintain what it is that you're giving them. So as Jesus directs his attention to Jerusalem, he needs to know, what are my disciples thinking? So he asks the question of them about himself. Point number one, he asks, what do they say? That's important. He wants to know, what's the public opinion? What does the Gallup poll say? What's the word on the street about me? What's the word on the street? Number one, what do they say? Number two, what do you say? Number one, what do they say? Number two, what do you say? And number three, what I say. What Jesus says. So number one, it says, what do they say? We need to make a note that in Matthew 16:13, it says, when Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? He did not give them any kind of clue so they could answer the question. He didn't say, who do men say that I, the Christ, I, Jesus, Son of Man? Who do they say? Because he knew the disciples would talk more to the people than Jesus would. They'd be all around, all over the place. He said, what's the public opinion about me? What's the word on the street? And you need to know there's always going to be a public opinion about your Jesus. Somebody always talking bad about your Jesus. Somebody always sizing up Jesus or telling me who Jesus is, and they didn't have you read the word. Public opinion does not mean it's an informed or intelligent opinion. It's just an opinion. Some of those folks that talk about me and my Jesus don't even know my Jesus. They don't know what he's done for me. They didn't interview me. So what did they say on the street? What did they say? And they said, they heard what they said. You know what folks say about Jesus, but he said, and they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist. Some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. That's who they think you are. They don't think you are who you are. But I like the way Jesus slid into this question, this quiz. Who do they say that I am? They answer that question. They spit it out that question. Yeah. Some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elias or Jeremiah or one of the prophets. They knew the answer. What do they say? You better be careful about what they say. Because you listen too much about what they say. What they say will keep you from knowing what you're supposed to know and what you're supposed to say. And then you, before you know, you'll be all mixed up, don't know who Jesus is. And then he messed them up. He said, what do you say? Look at verse 15. He saith unto them, you know what they say. Whom say ye that I am? That's all right. Because by this time, they had been with Jesus 2.5 years. If you've been in the same grade 2.5, no, that ain't right. That ain't right. I ain't going to say that's not right to say. Same school 2.5 years. Not same grade. Amen. He says, but whom say ye that I am? He wanted their personal opinion. He didn't want a public opinion. Now that you know what they say, you've been with me. You've been in the church. You've been in Bible study. You've been in Sunday school. You've been in worship. You've been in praise. Now, whom do ye say that I am? He turned that question around. Okay. That's what they say. They haven't been with me day and night. They haven't been with me close up. Even though I've done some miracles in their midst, but they think I'm just one of the prophets. There are some religions out there now that say Jesus was a good man. He's just one of the prophets. But they don't know who he really is. But whom say ye that I am? Look at verse 16. And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ. You are the promised Messiah, the Son of the living God. And what did Jesus say? And Jesus answered and said, And blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. All the scripture's trying to let us know is that when you're ready to find out who Jesus is, the God of heaven will reveal Jesus to you. Yes. Notice, the people, the public opinion folks, didn't get a revelation of who he was. Because they really didn't want to know. He's just some prophet. But when you begin to dig and try to find out who he is, the Holy Spirit, God will reveal who Jesus is. And see, he had to say that because they didn't want everybody walking around after this over like, hey, Peter, man, you the man. You a Jesus, boy. You bad dude. He said, no. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. In other words, Peter, you ain't get that from no book. You ain't get that off your cell phone. You got that straight from heaven. And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now we need to be careful, because some folks think that Jesus built the church on Peter, and Jesus just had a little play on words. Thou art Petros, means a little piece of a rock, and upon this Petra, which is a bedrock, I will build my church. If you don't believe me, then read like 1 Peter, where he says, Jesus is the chief cornerstone. And what he's saying to Peter, I'm going to use you and the other apostles to lay the foundation. But if you're a builder, you know you can lay a foundation all you want, but if you don't have a cornerstone, the question is, who is he? And what is he to you? Because based on your answer to that, that determines how powerful Jesus will be in your life. It determines the level of your faith according to how you think Jesus is. And the rock is Christ. The church is built upon Christ. Simon Peter has his own explanation in 1 Peter 2:4, referring to Christ. He writes, to whom cometh as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief. So don't get your Petros mixed up with your Petra. Don't get your little rock mixed up with the bedrock. Church ain't built on Peter. The church is one foundation. Come on. He's not built on Peter. The apostles in the Ephesians, they helped lay the foundation, but Jesus is the chief cornerstone. But there's still a lot of controversy going on about that. In that same verse. Oh, Jesus must have built the church on Peter. I wouldn't belong to a church built on Peter. Peter crazy like me. Cutting all ears, cussing folk out. You know, come on. I want to build a church that's built on Peter. I want a church built on somebody that knows what they're doing. That's not, you know, messed up. They're not irrational. Not emotional. They get all out of control. But he finally got it together. That's one thing about knowing who Jesus is. You can get it together. But he said, and the gates of hell should not prevail against it. Look at verse 19. And Jesus wasn't finished, because once you understand who he is, he'll begin to open up to you. He said, not only did I confirm the fact that it's been revealed unto you that the church is built on me and the gates of hell shall not prevail, I'm going to give you some keys. Because once you understand who I am, the responsibility tied to it, I can give you some power and I can give you some authority. That's why some of us don't have no keys to the kingdom. Because we still don't understand who he is. We still talk about, now lay me down. And Jesus said, move beyond that and step out the boat. Oh, come on, somebody. We want to be in the safe zone. Ain't no safe zone being a Christian. But he said,
And I will give thee, he's not just talking to Peter, he's talking to all the disciples and to you and I today. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be. Do you see the connection with the keys? I mess with my godson Mike all the time because he is one of he itching to drive. Next time I ask him for keys, I say, what you get ready to do? Because once I give him the keys, he has the authority to unlock the car, turn on the ignition. When the cops come, they want to know, how did he get the keys? I gave him the keys. Well, how did he steal the car? If you... He died to drive. But you got to give up the keys. And Jesus says, now that you understand who I am, I can give you authority to do ministry. What do you think binding and loosing is? That's authority. You don't have to wait till Sunday to get some mess out your house. You got to go through all that all week long to wait till Sunday to get to church, to get to the altar. You've got authority. You got the key if you understand who Jesus is. Anybody leave the house in the morning, lock the doors, and throw the keys away? You always got to come on something. People go crazy losing their keys. And the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Seek ye first the righteousness of God. You know, seek ye first the righteousness in the kingdom of God and his right. All these things. Now you got keys, y'all. All because you understand who he is. Pastor, what are you trying to say? If you understand who Jesus is, you'll have keys and you'll have authority to pray, to do ministry, to preach, the teeth, the cast out. Oh my God. The thing about keys is not only are you able to lock up, you're able to open. Not only can you let folk out, you can let folk. Oh my God. I mean, the Johnny says, whoever sins you remit, they'll be remitted. And whoever sins are not, they have power. But in order to use the power right, you've got to be able to understand who Jesus is. So when Peter says, upon this rock I'll build, when Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail, he said, I'm going to give you some keys now. I'm getting ready to go to Calvary and I got to turn it over. What do they call it when they have a business and they turn it over? A key, a turnkey. Lord, a turnkey situation. I'll turn everything over to you. After they set up, Jesus set up ministry. I got to turn it over to you. I got to go. That's what you do when you build the church. You're going to find out if the folk working with you know who Jesus is, and then you're going to turn some stuff. You don't release it until they understand who Jesus is. It has nothing to do with their intellectual aptitude. No. Nothing to do how well they dress and how much money they get. You got to understand who Jesus is, because if you don't understand who Jesus is, your smarts, your money, everybody you know won't mean nothing, because you won't know how to use it authoritatively for the kingdom of God. Who is he? And what is he to you? Some of us can't deal with power. We get power, but we just be lording all over everybody. I'm the bishop. I'm the head in charge. Anybody got brothers and sisters and your mother and father leave you in charge? Boy, you would crack that whip, wouldn't you? You walk around with the belt. I beat you like daddy would beat you. Some folks can't use authority, I'm telling you. They change up on you.
You let somebody get promoted. Oh, look at me. Look at you.
The ink ain't dropped the paper. They're not, but they come by. Look at you.
Excuse me, please. When you get authority, you know, it shouldn't go to your head. It should go to your heart. Where Christ is supposed to reside. As a man thinks of his heart, so is he. But that whole thing about keys is about giving us authority. And there's a lot of stuff written about the keys and everything, about what you can loose and what you can bind. But look at the connection between heaven. Jesus said, whatever you bind on earth. I said, God, why? Jesus, why would something be bound on earth, be bound in heaven? He said, because don't forget about the public opinion. Because somebody will be trying to bombard heaven with some crazy stuff. And if my people, when I gave my authority and keys, them bound, they already bound it, then I, look, it's bound. But they want me to do it. It's already bound. Yeah. See, there's people with giftedness. You got the gift and you got the keys to lay your hands and heal folk. Or you'd be like Jesus, just say a word. Yeah. Oh, my God. But who is he? And what is he to you? And then he said, he charged his disciples that they should not tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ, because you need to know more than he's the Christ. You need to know he's the Savior. And he's on his way to Calvary. But he said, I need to understand if my students learn the lesson. I call myself Son of Man. And Peter said, thou art the Christ. And since no one else, none of the other disciples went against Peter, they were in agreement with what Peter said. And no sooner you find out who Jesus is, when he start opening things up to you, he'll tell you about the church. Don't be afraid, church, because the gates of hell, the gates of Hades shall not prevail against the church. As a matter of fact, I'm going to give y'all some authority since you understand. When we begin to understand who he is, when we begin to answer the question, who is he and what is he to you? God will begin to speak. He'll begin to reveal. He'll begin to open up. When you look in God's word, if you look into God's word to understand God's word, to find out who Jesus is, he will reveal it to you. You're looking at it for yourself. So you can be puffed up? Nah. Soon as we understand who Jesus is, he gives us authority, gives us some keys. As soon as you sign that paper, when they give you the keys to the house? Oh, my God. When you go buy a new car, you know what they do? When I go there, they say, can I have a copy of your license? And they get in the car with me. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. They get in with me. No, they don't want to test drive out of stuff. They want to get in with you. And talk to you all so you can't hear the noise. Talking to you, oh, you see this, you see that, and all that kind of stuff. And sometimes, you know, I like to make a little sharp turn. Oh, it rides nice, yeah, it rides nice. But as soon as I sign the papers, they don't get in the car with me. They give them the keys and talk about thank you. My family shall eat filet mignon tonight, thank you. But now I have the authority to drive the car because I filled out the proper papers and it was approved. But now that I know who Jesus is, I got approval from Jesus. He gave me the key and now I can drive ministry. I can drive prayer anywhere I want. Oh my God. Your authority is not left in the church after the benediction on Sunday. You carry your authority with you. Take the name of Jesus with you. Because where Jesus is, there his authority is. So on your job, take Jesus with you. Guess what? Your authority is there. You got to go somewhere, take Jesus with you. The authority. When you understand who he is. And what is he to you? I believe that as Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you and me right now, when he glances down at us, when he hears some of our prayers, he questions us today. He's like, whom do you say that I am? Something like some of the testimony was about. Doubting God. If you don't know who he is, you're going to doubt him. If you don't know somebody and they promise you something, you'll doubt him. But if you know somebody real well, you say, okay, they're a person of their word. But if you don't know the person they promised you something, you'd be like, I ain't sure about that. You start making other plans. Well, if you know who Jesus is, you don't have to make no other plans. There's other plans to be made. Because he is who he is. But he would ask us the same question, some of us. He would say, who do ye say that I am? Who is he? And the reason why I didn't say who is Jesus is because he started out questioning the disciples, saying, who do you say the Son of Man is? Who is he and what is he to you? Your answer to this question is a deciding factor to your relationship with Jesus Christ and the authority you have been granted. Little knowledge, little keys. Those luggage keys you pulled out the other day, that little lock and the little keys. Why do they make luggage locks? It's like you can just stare them and they pop open. Little locks with little key. More knowledge, more authority, more acceptance of Christ in your life, more authority. And the more we yield, the more authority he gives it. Because he said, they understand that I came that they might have life. They're beginning to understand I got a plan for their life. They're moving out of the way so I can have my way. And I'm going to get them authority and the keys to bind and loose. Because they're going to be my spokesperson down here. I got to go back and intercede. If you don't know who Jesus is, if you had the wrong opinion of Jesus, then you don't have your keys. And you don't have any authority to do what that which a Christian should be able to do. That's why you got to go to everybody all the time. It's nothing like asking somebody to pray with you. But if you always got to have somebody praying for you, and you don't pray for yourself, where's your authority? See, we don't believe we got authority to tear down stuff. Some people think because of your title and your anointing that you have more authority. No, that's your gift. That's your calling. But we all got authority. If I put my authority with your authority, we turn this neighborhood upside down. Because we're walking in authority. Oh my, I've never seen a policeman come up on a scene and say, I can't do nothing. No, man, you got authority, man. Pull that Glock out, man. Get those people acting right up in the black. They have authority. You don't want a policeman with no gun. That's why I never want to be in some areas where, you know, people come in and you don't have no... Man, capture a thief with flashlight. I guarantee my flashlight will shoot. I'm going to get it all rigged up, Doc. Because on the job, they tell you you can only carry a flashlight. Okay. Where'd you get that flashlight with a trigger from? Don't you worry. The people shall be protected, and I shall not be neglected. Yes.
You got to be creative. You got to protect yourself.
Well, the manual says you can't carry. I got it. It's a flashlight, brother.
Shooting B batteries. No. Okay.
We have authority. This church has authority. The gates of hell shall not prevail against this church. Somebody can come in right now in the wrong kind of spirit. You ain't got to call the cops in the name of Jesus. By the word of God, by the blood, I denounce that spirit. You got to do it in the name of you by the blood.
By the time the cops get here, they be saved. Oh, come on.
Anybody prayed that same prayer?
You got authority sometimes. You need to pray over your children with authority. Pray over your own life with authority. Pray over your finances with authority. I'm not saying don't ask anybody else to pray for you, but you got some authority. You got some power. Speak to your finances. Speak to your situation.
King, Jack, why you calling me? I don't have a key to your apartment.
And we all got keys. I don't have no pastoral keys. You have a choir keys. You got the deacon keys. The same key.
Same authority. Open something up. Close something down. When you get sick and tired of being sick and tired, you'll begin to pray a different way.
Pastor, I've been praying this prayer for years. What prayer have you been praying? You haven't been praying effectively. The effective, fervent prayer of the righteous man. Call that thing like it is and pray the word. Pray what God promised you and pray. Call it out. Don't be afraid of it. You've got authority. Whatever's bothering you, whatever's in your body, whatever in your house, it got in illegally. And it has no right to be.
Better speak to that stuff. Stop running around like you scared. You got authority.
If the cops start running, I'm running too. If he start running, if he got the gun and the knife, and he start taking off, it's a power.
But you're covered by the blood. We must remember that Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. But your abundance, our abundance has to do with who he is and what is he to you. The abundance has to deal with that. The faucet is open all the way. If I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you, the faucet is open all the way when you understand who he is. Pastor, what are you trying to say? You would not take your young daughter or your young son and give them something they couldn't handle. You would make sure that they had the ability to handle it and knew how they, you wouldn't give a little kid keys to a car because you want them to understand that you have to have a license and you need to be trained. And you need to know the power of the state. You need to know the danger of it. What Jesus is saying is, I'm not going to give you authority if you don't know how to use it, if you don't know why I gave it to you, if you don't know when I gave it to you. We can't forget that after Jesus got up from the grave, he gave all of us a commission. Turn to Matthew chapter 28. He commissioned us all. And I need to let you know, Peter's not the only one with keys. You got keys too. Hallelujah. The only time you got to borrow my keys is when it's not your car. Oh my God. But other than that, you got your own keys. My. Look at Matthew 28, verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Some always going to doubt. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all authority, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That's for us also. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. That's like me having a security guard or a police officer walking with me everywhere. My power, he said, I'm with you always, no matter where I am, no matter where I go, no matter where I'm going to. I got my authority with me. Now I'm going to have the authority that Jesus gave me. He's with me. I got backup authority. You ever hear on the show, I need backup? I don't have to say I need backup. My backup is already backed up. Oh. Already got backup because he said, no, I'm with you always. If I'm doing what he told me to do, if I'm preaching what he told me to preach, if I'm saying what he said, if I'm praying right, if I'm walking right, living right. I ain't talking about perfection, striving towards perfection. But he gave us commission and he gave us authority. There's nothing that you and I are supposed to do in the ministry that doesn't have authority. But you got to understand who he is. If you and I have the privilege of living in the New Testament church, Jesus not only commissioned and authorized the disciples, but he also commissioned and authorized 120 people with the apostles. They were up there in Acts chapter 1. Then we close out with Acts chapter 1. Because we in the New Testament church. I remember one time Doug Jr. asked my wife and I, if they had power in the New Testament church, where's the power in the New Testament church of the day? If it's the same church, where is the power? Where is the authority? Why do we pray like we got to beg God? Look at Acts chapter 1. This former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, one and one, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. That means that he started something, but he wanted somebody else to finish it. Until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs,
being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which says he, ye have heard of me. But see, they were assembled together with them. They were in the upper room. When you come to church on Sunday, we ought to be assembled together on one accord and waiting for God to do what God has to do, because we're all waiting together and we all have authority, and heaven recognizes the authority that heaven has given us. Therefore, when we all get together in one accord in the church on Sundays, beautiful things begin to happen. It's when we get disconnected. It's when we get disjointed. It's when we get distracted. It's when I begin to play for myself and I don't begin to pray for anybody else. That's when it gets all messed up. But they were on one accord. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore will come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria to the uttermost part of the earth. Look at verse 14. These all continue with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And Peter stood up in those days and said, you know, the number of the names together about 120. And then they decided, hey, we need somebody that's able to take Judas's place. And they did all that. And look at verse 24. And they prayed and said, thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. They all on one accord. And he said, you're going to receive power. You're going to receive authority. Look at Acts chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared in them cloven tongues like as fire, and it set upon each of them. They had been authorized and commissioned. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Whatever God promised you, it's going to come. You got your authority, but it won't come till you understand who he is. Who is he? And what is he to you? Not only did he authorize and commission his disciples, but he also commissioned the 120 in the upper room in Jerusalem. When the Holy Ghost fell, who is he and what is he to you? If he's not your all in all, if he's not your first and foremost, if he's not your Alpha and Omega, if he's not your Jehovah Jireh, if he's not your wheel in the middle of the wheel, if he's not your strong tower, if he's not your morning joy, if he's not your lily of the valley, if he's not your prophet, priest, and king, if he's not your water when you're thirsty, if he's not your bread when you're hungry, if he's not your bridge over troubled waters, if he's not your anchor, if he's not the shepherd and bishop of your soul, if he's not your Lord and Savior, then who is he and what is he to you? If he's not all that to you and more, then who is he and what is he to you? Well, we need to understand today that whom do ye say that I am? That thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And no sooner than Peter said that, things begin to happen. If you would stand today and proclaim that he is Christ, things will begin to happen in your life. That stuff you thought wouldn't turn over, it'll turn over. So you have authority. And when you have authority, you don't have to walk around jingling your keys. Oh, glory be to God. You just walk in your authority. My. Just walk in. Just walk in your authority. That's all. Walk in your power. Don't be afraid to pray. Initially, you might feel it in the flesh and be a little afraid. But, you know, tell the enemy, don't let me get to my closet. Don't let me get to my altar. Because when I get powered up, you know, I talk about the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers all the time. Well, you make them mad, do something wrong. Make a Christian mad, let them go to their Mighty Morphin Power. Oh, I wish I had a witness in there. You can wear red, blue, yellow. What's it? Red, blue, yellow, whatever color. Is it three of them? And pink. All right, brothers. All right. But sometimes you got to press that button, Jack. And you can stand. But the other car had the other Nissan. Mother Ellen, they had a thing like a flip it over.
And like the hood would raise up on the expressway.
Mighty Morphin Power.
The lady drove me one time. She said, Dad, that car is fast. She said, I pulled it over. I said, all right. That's your authority. You've been in cruise control. And the enemy's been doing stuff at a fast pace in your life. Trying to make your head spin. Trying to make your face spin. And God is saying to you today, won't you understand who I am? I have given you the authority and the power to go forth and tear down and bind and loose. Let us all stand. There may be someone here today that realized through the message that they found out exactly who Jesus is. Who is he? And what is he to you? You found out that the church is built on Jesus Christ. You got power to bind and power to loose. Hallelujah. Glory be to God.